listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Faith Alive, inspiring talks from the finest Catholic speakers. Today from the 2017 Sacred Heart Congress, Father John Paul Mary of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. This Congress was held on Saturday, October 14th at Christ the King Parish in Columbus. If you'd like to download this talk or share it with a friend, please go to the special features page in our audio archive at stgabrielradio.com. To learn more about the Sacred Heart Devotion in Columbus, please visit sacredheartcolumbus.org. And here's Father John Paul Mary. Enjoy!
Gee, I hope the title of my talk didn't scare anybody off. I'm glad Father Schalk mentioned at the beginning of the day that we knew each other from the college seminary years ago at the Josephinum. I entered in 2000, and they were my classmates, Father Schalk and Father Daly. So just to come back here and to be with them, and also Sister Joseph Andrew, who we met at around the same time, the same year in 2000. So I've known them for 17 years. And like Father Schalk said about his picture, he said that was a very good picture of him taken years ago. I think that picture of me too, and you know, you might think, gosh, what happened? Well, you know, I started exercising and eating right, and I lost 60 pounds since January. So everybody, I know everybody's like, are you okay? People write in, call in, do you have cancer? Or, no, I'm actually feeling better than I have been 20 years. So if you had any questions about that, that answered it. I'd like to share with you just a few things. I was named by Pope Francis a missionary of mercy, and some of the Dominicans here downtown were named missionaries of mercy. I know there were a few here in Columbus. But during the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy, the Pope, when he opened the Jubilee Year, and he wrote the opening letter called the Bull of Indiction, opening the extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, he desired, he said, to call and to send forth missionaries that would, in his words, welcome people with the Father's embrace. And not just to hear confessions and to be available to people to meet them to hear confession, but he said to be able to preach and to teach through retreats, through missions and catechesis, and really to draw people into the mystery of Christ's love. And most of all, I think that is most manifest through his Sacred Heart, that God dwelt among us. He gave us, all the missionaries of mercy, a personal stole, and I always like to carry it with me when I go and give for treats. So you might think, today's Saturday, Father, it's the day of Our Lady, and why are you wearing purple? It's not Lent. It's not Advent, so why in the world are you talking about penance for crying out loud? Well, first of all, why don't I pray first to get us and open our hearts up, from my own heart up to what God wants me to communicate, and open your own hearts up to what he wants you to hear. I think a lot of times what happens is, Sometimes a priest preaches, people come away with a totally different message than what we said. Something entirely different, and we didn't even say it. Because there's so many different individuals here. Each one of you has your own individual needs. And each one of you has a heart And each one of you has a relationship with the living God on your journey. And God speaks to your heart. So God is speaking to you, each one of you, today, now. In Sister Joseph Andrews' talk, each one of you came away with different things, I'm sure, from that talk. Maybe even things that she didn't even say. I wanted to share with you also something a little special that I covet a little bit. During the Jubilee Year of Mercy, when I went to Rome, and my mother asked me one thing before I went over to Rome. She said, "I don't ask you for much, but all I want from you is a picture with Pope Francis." I said, "Mom, there's over hundreds of thousands of people in St. Peter's Square. You want a picture of me with the Holy Father? Yeah, okay. You better pray for that." Well, it happened. The day that we were commissioned as Missionaries of Mercy on Ash Wednesday in 2016, I was in a general audience, and I just so happened to be at the right place at the right time. And the Holy Father meets the sick first. So he greets those who are disabled, those who are sick in any way, suffering, and he meets their families. And that was something to me that really helped me to see our Holy Father Pope Francis in a whole different light when I actually saw him interact with people. And then right after he met the sick, he came up to me first. I was the first one in line. And I was standing with a group that I wasn't supposed to be standing with, really. They say in Rome, just follow the crowd. I was supposed to go off to the side, but I figured maybe if I just follow them, I'll end up somewhere. Well, I ended up in the right place at the right time, front of the line, and the Holy Father came up to me. And when you go to Rome, sometimes they have a tradition where popes have exchanged a zucchetto with people. So I bought a zucchetto at the papal tailor, and I'm holding this like this when the Pope comes up, and he blesses the zucchetto, and I told him I had my Missionary of Mercy tag, and I said, "Holy Father, I'm one of your Missionaries of Mercy." And he just looked at me, and I'll never forget that grandfatherly smile, that look in my eyes. And he blessed my zucchetto. And he took it off, his off, and then he put this one on. I'm not going to put it on because I know you would love me to. I've done in the quiet of my own office and in front of Father Stosch last night. And it looks really good, too. But the Holy Father put it on his head and tapped it and said in Italian, "It's used now." So it's nice that I have this souvenir, if you will, of meeting the Pope. And I got a picture of that moment, actually, of exchange. And what happened was, right after he gave it back to me, put it on his head, and put it back in the box, I immediately just sprang forward and hugged the man. And there's this picture of me and him, and he has his hands embracing my shoulders, and I lost it afterwards. It was an incredible really an experience of feeling just the warmth and love of a father, a father's heart. I just wanted to share with you that little experience. And basically, that's the fruit of a mother's prayers. I know I've had a few of you come up to me and express prayer concerns of different things in your family, worries, heartaches that you have. A mother's prayers, a grandmother's prayers, are powerful. I would not be here if it wasn't for my mom's prayers. I probably would be dead, either of alcohol poisoning or wrapped around a tree from my race car, if it wasn't for my mom's prayers. I guarantee you I would not be here. So do not give up. That is, no, please don't clap. That is part of your mission. That is something that I think flows from your consecration, your baptism, and this renewal of your baptism that you all take on through a consecration of yourselves and your life and your homes to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's something very effective. It produces results. Sometimes you don't see them right away in the way you want to see them, in the time you want to see them, but they happen. They do. Let me pray first before I go on and on. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant us by the same Spirit to be truly wise, and ever to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceive without sin. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is in the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all the generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The title of my talk, I wanted to entitle it Penance, Penance, Penance. When Father Daly asked me to do a talk, and I was thinking about what to speak about, for some reason, these words kept on coming to my mind, and I kept on, no, I can't do that. But for some reason, they kept on coming to my mind, penance, penance, penance. And what a year for this message to be embraced by the church. Penance, penance, penance. Last week, Father Daly and I were on the radio, and he asked me about this and about the title of the talk, and I just wanted to correct myself because I said that these were words of Our Lady, but they really weren't. They were words of the angel as part of the third secret of Fatima. And just to say a little bit about this third secret, these are the words of Lucia. She says, after the two parts, which I have already explained, at the left of Our Lady and a little above, we saw an angel with a flaming sword in his left hand, flashing. It gave out flames that look as though they were set on fire. They would set the world on fire, but they died out in contact with the splendor of Our Lady. Remember Sister Joseph Andrews speaking about that image of Our Lady's light and the angel's sword, that Our Lady's light emanated from her. And Our Lady radiated toward him from her right hand, pointing to the earth. And the angel cried out in a loud voice, penance, penance, penance. Penance is, first of all, not just something that's exterior. When we think about penance, I think most of us think of the liturgical seasons, Lent and Advent, and we think to ourselves of what I need to change, and that is a good thing, but perhaps we start making lists and they get a mile long and we get a little discouraged after about the first and second and third week. This is pretty hard. Conversion is very hard work. And really, it's not so much our work. It is our work. We have to put forth our effort. But first and foremost, conversion is the work of God within your soul. It's a cooperation on our part. We cooperate with grace. God is the one who makes the first move toward us. God invites us. Each one of you. It's almost like a gentle knock. Some days we may feel like it's a pounding. I know I've gotten that feeling in my own life. I feel like the Lord's pounding at my door. It's just to get a hold of my stubbornness, I think. But the majority of the time, it's that small, gentle voice, isn't it? Remember, the Lord was not in the earthquake, he wasn't in the storms, but he was in the quiet of a still, small voice. And we need to learn to listen to him and that invitation that he's calling us to, that gentle knock. Some of you may have seen the beautiful image of the Lord knocking at the door. It's one of my favorite images of the Lord, where he's at this door and you can see that outside the door it's very unkempt. There's brush coming up, very dirty. And in the midst of that is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus comes to us in the midst of our life, in the midst of even the chaos of our life, right? In the midst of even what may look, what the messiness of our life, of our situations, of our world, he comes into the midst of that to change us. He knocks on the door. Jesus is knocking at that door ever so gently. Did you ever notice that picture does not have a doorknob on the outside? Where's the doorknob? On the inside. Why? Because he gives us the incredible gift of free choice. Freedom. He gives us freedom to choose. To obey him. To follow him. To follow his ordinances, his commandments, his teachings, his church, his mystical body. He doesn't force his way into our lives as a dictator. That's the marvel of Christianity. That God comes into our midst. That God becomes flesh. The enfleshment of our God. Can really say that's the scandal of Christianity. No other religion on the face of this earth teaches that God became one of us. The eternal Son of God, God the Son, the second person of the most blessed Trinity, takes on flesh and becomes one of us in all things but sin. This would be a scandal, is a scandal to any other religion. Jews, Muslims, Hindu, Buddhists, they do not believe this. To be Christian is to be completely counter-cultural. Really, to go against the tide. Venerable Fulton J. Sheen would say something like this, that in his time, it was almost, he would say, easy to be a Christian, to be a Catholic priest, to go out into public dressed as a priest, even dressed as a religious sister. There was a certain respect that people gave to religious, even non-Catholics. People would take their hats off and all these courteous things, and they would greet you. Now we live in a world where everybody is walking around like this. Even closer. I'm going to throw this thing in the trash some days. We've lost this ability to be able to have true encounters, face-to-face encounters with people. To talk to people about a year ago, I was in the doctor's office and I experienced a grandmother and a grandson, and the grandson was on his iPad playing away right in front of his grandmother. And immediately, I was so sad. And I thought to myself, my grandmother is not alive anymore. And I just thought, as a kid, if that were to happen, I would have gotten slapped. There is no way that my grandmother next to me, first of all, I wanted to talk to my grandmother. I love my grandmother. And I wish that she was still here with me, but I know she's in a better place. But just to see this image of, that was to me almost the image of what's happening in our culture, this losing of true relationships. Speaking to one another, sharing with one another. I had the privilege of being the son of a nurse. And my mother is a director of nurses of a nursing home. So from the time that I was a little child, I had the opportunity to go and to speak with the elderly. And let me tell you, there's nothing more that I learned in my life than those times when I went in and just sat with somebody in their room and just they opened up the wisdom of their life. And they shared with me about their joys. They would share with me about their children, their grandchildren, their struggles, the good times and the bad. This was from the time I was a little kid. I grew up with this. And all of this was, I think, you can say, brewing within my own heart for years. Even during those times where I may have been astray from the Lord. This was brewing within my heart. And it changed me from the inside out. It was converting me. That's what conversion is. Conversion is a process that takes place interiorly, from the inside of our hearts. That's why that image of Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts is so important, because he's inviting us to this relationship with him. And that relationship changes everything. Everything. It doesn't take away anything. Pope Benedict XVI came to the United States and he spoke to young people in New York. And this is something not just he said, but it was St. John Paul II, excuse me, thanks be to God. This is Joseph Andrews laughed. It's this message of constantly of the last couple Holy Fathers that when we give our lives more completely over to Jesus Christ and his mother, first of all, there would be a tendency to think that if I give myself more to another person, then that's going to take something away from me. Kind of a selfishness to think about, isn't it? If I give myself away, then I'm not going to be really who I am. And Pope Benedict reminded young people that the more you give yourself to Jesus Christ, the more you become who you are created to be, not less. We may think to ourselves, well, if I give myself over to Jesus, then I won't be able to do X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C, 1, 2, and 3. however you want to do it. And that's true. There are things in our lives that we need to change. When we start following the Lord, we need to turn away from sin, to reject anything contrary to the gospel. And there are things in our lives that we may think that are so glamorous and good. By the way, sin does look quite glamorous, doesn't it? Some days. Sin and evil are only a twisting of the good. Satan is not creative. Satan cannot create. Only God can create. The evil one can only twist and taint that which is good and present it to us on this platter. And we may think that it looks good, but it's not. It's like eating out of a dumpster. And haven't we all fallen into that dumpster? But God provides the remedy. He is the remedy for our sickness, for our weaknesses. He provides not only the remedy, but He is the remedy. He provides the remedy, the sacraments. You see, God is not in some far-off place where we may think that the Lord is so far away that He can't hear my prayers. Isn't that sometimes the temptation in our life? When we're at prayer, or calling out to God in our distress, in our weaknesses. God, do you hear me? Hello? Are you up there? Are you answering me? We don't need to scream for God to hear us, I can assure you. He even hears a silent whisper as if we are screaming. Like Sister was talking about being a child. We are, in God's eyes, His adopted sons and daughters. You know, we come into this world very dependent, don't we? We come into this world needing shelter, needing food. Almost we come into this world crying, let me back in, literally. Let me back in, crying. But no, we rely on who at first to take care of us? Most likely our parents, our grandparents, our siblings, to take care of our very needs, everything. Parents, grandparents, your children don't wake up in the middle of the night when they're 1.5 or 2 and say, I want to pay the electric bill. Or I want to pay the mortgage. How about that? You wish. No. They're completely reliant on you, aren't they? They're completely dependent on you. And as they grow up, as we grow up, all of us, as we grow up, usually, around 3, 4, 5 into age of reason, you start hearing what? Not mom or dad, usually is not the first word. What is usually the first word? No. I heard this from my little niece. A litany of no's. Not a litany of humility. She's praying. No. 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 Okay. Isn't that interesting that we come into this world so abandoned as children, and the image of a child just with open arms to mom and dad, to anyone, the innocence of a child's face, we're just drawn to it. Something beautiful about a child. The child's arms reaching out to us. But as we start to get, again, a little bit, I don't want to say mature, those open arms starts to happen? Closed fists. Mine. It's mine. My toy. My shoes. My phone. So there's this rebellion, right? There's a rebellion that takes place within the heart of each one of us. This is the original sin. There's a rebellion going on within our hearts. Really, the line between good and evil run down between the heart of every man, woman, and child. We're capable of great good things, and we're capable of downright nasty, evil things if we turn away from God. That's why we need God's assistance. We cannot do it on our own. That's where grace comes in, sanctifying grace. God's very life within us. He gives us this grace at baptism to change. With all the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. You want me to go through the fruits? You proud of me, sister? Peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, generosity, mildness, chastity, self-control. I know I'm missing a few. But all of these gifts, and the Beatitudes, by the way, blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you know what that translation actually says in Greek? Blessed are those who are poor in respiration. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Meaning something like this. Blessed are those who realize that their next breath comes from God. That you are so dependent upon God that your next breath comes from Him. That's being dependent upon God. Total dependence upon the one who holds us in His very hand for everything. He sustains us. Right now, He's sustaining right you. Right now, He's sustaining you and me here and now. And you know what? If He would stop thinking of us for a moment, for a second, for a nanosecond, you wouldn't just be a pile of dust on the floor. You would be annihilated. You would cease to exist if God would stop thinking about you right now. That's His mercy and His justice and His love that's holding you into existence right now. That's how much we depend on God. But as the years go on, we become more independent, don't we? Independence is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with being independent. And a man shall leave and cling to his wife, leave his parents and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There's nothing wrong with independence. It's a good thing when a child leaves home. You don't, parents, you want your kids around forever. I think you want some peace in your own life. But there's something beautiful about independence too, but at the same time to realize that even as we grow older and become more independent and less reliant on our parents for those things that they provided for us our entire life, even in our independence, we still really are dependent. And that's where we get lost sometimes, I think, don't we? We lose the sense that everything, our whole lives, public and private, are supposed to be under the dominion of Christ the King, under His reign. I often like to use this image in prayer. I don't know where I got it from. But imagine a big throne on your heart. And we need to think to ourselves, who's sitting on that throne? Who's sitting on that throne, and who has control over my life? Am I submitting my life over to the care and to the will of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I think the majority of the time, if I'm honest, the one who's sitting on that throne is not the Holy Trinity. It's the unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. It's not the Lord God, Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, the King and center of all hearts, that's sitting on that throne all the time. But usually it's me. When we pray the Our Father, a lot of times we pray the Our Father and we're going through the words, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We may be saying those words, but really meaning something like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My kingdom come, my will be done, on earth as it should be in heaven. Meaning somehow we think by our prayers that we're twisting God's arm and we're manipulating God to do my will. That's not Christian prayer. Christian prayer is not twisting God's arm. Christian prayer is conformity with my will to God's perfect will. His will is perfect, and He wants the best for you and I. And sometimes we may not see that clearly. It's a process. And this is where, really, enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary can change your life, this devotion of the Church. And really, any devotion of the Church is not as if the Church invented this devotion, concocted it out of nowhere. You look in salvation history, this is all throughout the Scriptures. What does the prophet Ezekiel say? I will create within you a new heart and place my spirit within you, taking from your bodies your stony hearts and giving you natural hearts. Who do you think fulfilled that prophecy? Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Word made flesh, the eternal Son of the Father. He comes down, not dropped out of an apple tree. He doesn't come dropped down out of heaven through a string to our world. But how does He come into this world? Through a family. Albeit a miraculous way, the virgin birth, but a family. He has a mother. He has a father. He learned from His Father. He grew in age and wisdom and grace, the Scriptures say. What must it have been like for the eternal Son of God, God the Son, to so humble Himself as a child and then as a young man to be skilled at the lathe, to watch His foster father teach Him how to use those hands. How to use those hands that would be pinned to a cross. The eternal Son of God came into this world and was formed, as the litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus says, was formed under the heart of the Virgin Mother. That His heart and her heart beat synonymously at the same time. And they still do. The eternal Son of God was made flesh through Mary's yes, through her fiat. Do you see how important it is that we say yes to God in His plan, that we become dependent upon Him? Do you see how important that is? That we don't rebel and say no. God gives us the freedom to choose, to say yes, to say fiat mihi verbum secundum tuum, be it done unto me according to thy word. Your yes is so important. Don't think that your yes is insignificant. Don't think that, oh, I can't make a difference in the world. I can't. I'm so remote, and maybe I'm a shut-in, or I don't get out too much. Don't think that your yes, your life, does not make a difference. Every single last one of you is called to make a difference in the world. Guess what? There is not another you on the face of this earth. You may think, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God there's not another Father John Paul. I would get tired of listening to myself. There is not another you on the face of this earth. That you have been given gifts that another person next to you does not possess. We call these charisms. And God gives charisms abundantly. I think the majority of people do not really go through life and really sincerely ask the Lord, what gifts have you given me for the sake of the kingdom of God? Have you? Have you asked the Lord in all sincerity, what gifts has God given you, me? It's never too late. And He will bestow abundantly if you ask. Lord, give me gifts to serve You. Help me to break out of this prison of myself, if you will. That's what gifts help us to do. Most of all, the theological virtues and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But charisms as well. And you can place the charism of enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary under that realm of charisms in the church, where you go into people's homes and you catechize, you teach. Most of all, perhaps you listen. Maybe some of our missionaries could tell you stories about how they would go in and somebody just needed somebody to talk to. They've been lonely for a while. Maybe they don't believe God loves them or cares about them. And then all of a sudden you show up at the door or by a phone call and reach out to somebody that you know and say, would you like me to enthrone your house to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary? And they say, yes, absolutely. And that changes that person's life forever. See, that's how the Word is made flesh continually over and over again. The Word is made flesh not just once, one time in eternity, but the Word is made flesh continually whenever we say yes to God's will through you and through me. In bringing Jesus to the hearts of those who most desperately need Him. And that's everybody. Jesus Christ is a universal Savior of the world. There is no man, woman, or child on the face of this earth that will attain heaven without being cleansed and passing through His passion, death, and resurrection. Nobody gets to heaven without Jesus. And once again, how did Jesus come into this world? St. Louis de Montfort would put it something like this ingeniously, the very first paragraph of the True Devotion to Mary. says that just as the eternal Son of God, the Word made flesh, came into this world through the Virgin Mary and was made flesh, somehow, in some mysterious way, that he will reign in this world. That the second coming will happen again through the cooperation and the mediation of the Virgin Mary. Again, how will this happen? St. Louis de Montfort doesn't spell it out. But it makes sense. We call it the logic of the incarnation and redemption. Just as how God came into this world through the womb of the Virgin Mary, so he will reign in this world and in our hearts through her. Because Jesus was given flesh through Mary, she gave him eyes to see the multitudes, to see the crippled, the lame, the outcast, the sinner, the tax collector. She gave him hands to reach out to the little children, to welcome the children. Those hands that would touch the man born blind. Those hands that would heal the lame. Those hands that would reach down and mold eyes and to unclog ears. Ephatha, be opened. Our Lady, by her yes, gave the eternal Son of God a back that would carry the cross to Calvary and that would be scourged and beaten and mocked, bloodied for your sake and for mine. She gave him hands again that would be pinned to the cross. Again, not grabbing at things, but eternally open for you and for me. She gave him a heart that beats for all eternity, right now, in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. God has a heart that's beating for you, and every time it beats, it's calling out your name. Joseph, Mary, Martha, Madeline. It's calling out your name. And saying, I love you. That heart would be pierced from the cross for you and for me. Mary makes our God so available to us that she makes him lovable, huggable, kissable, tangible, edible, eatable. And you can't get any closer to Almighty God than when you take him into your frame in Holy Communion. We have equivalently, get a glass of water. We have equivalently what the Virgin Mary had within her reproductive tract in our very own digestive tract. That's how close the eternal Son of God is to you. Do you think God is far from you? He's not far. I think we all remember the song From a Distance. It has a nice tune to it. From a distance. It's the furthest thing from the truth. God does not look at us from a distance. If we so choose, He is within us. Closer to us, as St. Paul says, than we are to ourselves. That Christ lives within me. It is no longer my life that I live, but Christ who lives within me. It is the life of faith in the Son of God that died for me and loves me. That's what you all are ultimately bringing to those homes that you consecrate to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Not just images that we put up. Sure, those are important and reminders of the Lord's humanity, His sacred humanity, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But we're actually bringing people into a relationship. Does that make sense? Not something abstract. Not looking at an iPad or an iPhone, but we're actually encountering the Lord. And He's changing us. That's what conversion is about. That's what penance is about. And speaking about penance. Penance is conversion. It's a necessary element of the gospel. It's not, penance is just for those in religious life. No, we're to embrace the penances that we have in our ordinary daily lives. Perhaps your penance is sitting right next to you. You don't need to wear a hair shirt. Just putting up with the ordinary inconveniences of daily life. Suffering is a great penance, a huge penance, where one conforms one's life and suffering over to Almighty God. You know, to conclude, there was a poet who wrote a poem. His name is Leon Bloy. I can't pronounce it right. B-L-O-Y, I think. And the poem goes something like this. There are places in the human heart that have no existence. Man enters into those deepest places suffering in order to give them existence. It is suffering that expands the capacity of the human heart to love. Let me just say that one more time because I know it blew you away. There are places in the human heart, in the recesses of our heart, that have no existence. Man enters into those deepest places with Christ in order to give them existence. In order to push the walls of our heart outwards. Have you ever felt that? when you were next to somebody that was suffering, maybe somebody that you love, maybe somebody that you, a spouse that was going on to eternal life, maybe somebody that had cancer in your life. Have you ever felt that pushing of your heart outward? That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God pushing at your heart and giving you the capacity to love. A capacity to love that you are incapable of. Totally. There are places in the human heart that have no existence. God enters into those deepest places, suffering, in order to give them existence. Again, it is suffering that expands the capacity of your heart and mine to love. That's the heart of Christ. I see it. Jesus gives us the ability to love. It's not about us. He's the one, by his heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, their hearts are ultimately to beat with our heart in unison. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Faith Alive is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You've been listening to Father John Paul Mary of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word from the 2017 Sacred Heart Congress. To download a copy of this talk, visit the special features page of our audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. To learn more about the Sacred Heart devotion, please visit sacredheartcolumbus.org. Thanks for listening today. God bless and have a great day.